book. So if all of a sudden I'm halfway through my message and I forget, then it's because my tablet turned off and I couldn't remember what I was going to say, all right? So anyway, we're going to try it. And but I'm going to shed that.
But it's not hot in here, Pastor.
You want to put my coat on? You know, the Bible says women are supposed to be what in church? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, okay. I'll remember that. We think that, there we go. Now we got it. You know, when you hear the word convict, what do you think of? Somebody who did something wrong, went to court, and was convicted and is going to end up going to jail, right? They're convicted of something, you know. And that's true. That many times that's what happens. Well, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about convictions and preferences. And, you know, you may say, well, I know what the difference between that. I don't many times feel we do know the difference between having a conviction and having a preference. I asked a number of people this last week when I was doing this message what the difference was between a conviction and a preference. And they gave me all kinds of different definitions of both of them. And some of them were pretty close to being what it is in that. But in the times which we live, there, you know, people have a lot of different preferences, but they don't have a lot of convictions. You know, and I believe many times we have iPads, we have internet, we have smartphones, we have cable, we have satellite, we have TV, we have Xbox, we have Wii's, we have all these electronics known to man, and the generation which we're now are now coming up really don't have any convictions. Now, Susan, what kind of a phone do you have? You have an iPhone? Okay. Jacob, what kind of a phone do you have? Huh? What's the name of it? Oh, Jacob, he don't know nothing. Anyway, okay, so it's a Samsung, so it's not an iPhone, right? Okay, so what's the difference between the two of them? Okay, so hers is 10 times more expensive. But now, Susan, her preference is to have an iPhone, and his preference is to have a Samsung because Samsung's a lot cheaper. So, you know, but those are preferences, and they're not conviction. But what is a conviction? The definition of a conviction in Webster's 1864 dictionary is this: it's a state of being convicted or a belief. In Unger's Bible Dictionary, the law term is to be found guilty. Common language, it means to be persuaded. Theology, it means to be condemned. A conviction is something you can prove from the Bible. Yeah, actually, what a conviction is something that you would be willing to die for. You know, I love the United States of America, and I would be willing to die for my country. That's a conviction. It's something that I am convicted that I need to do. I need to realize that this country is a great country, it's a God-fearing country, and that I would do anything for my country. But then what is a preference? What's the difference between a conviction and a preference? A preference is something you may have a strong feeling towards, but you cannot prove it by the Bible. Or, in layman's tense, is this: it's something that you will change your mind about. It's something that, well, it's here today, gone tomorrow. You know, a preference is something that you feel strongly about at a certain time in life, and then it's gone. You know, through the Bible, God convicted people of things that they had done wrong. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, it says this, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now Adam and Eve were convicted that they were naked. That was not a preference. They were convicted that they didn't have any clothes on. And they were ashamed. Now, why did that become a conviction? Why was it a conviction and not a preference? After all, back then, nobody wore clothes, right?
They were the only two there.
Yeah, they were the only two there. But what had God told them? God had told him, in the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Now, what happened is, Satan told him, well, you aren't going to surely die. Your eyes are going to be opened. I mean, you're going to be as gods. Well, you know what? They found out what it was to be convicted about wearing clothes. Now, it was not their preference, but God had told them that if they ate of that fruit, it was going to become a conviction. Now, it was because of their sin that they were naked. In Genesis 42, 21 to 22, it says, "And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw his anguish in his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear thereof. Is this distress come upon us? And Reuben answered, saying, Spake I not unto you? Did not your sin against this child, and ye would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." Joseph's brothers were under great conviction. After all, what had they done? Huh? They sold him into slavery. You know, we've been learning that in Sunday school. You know, they went and they sold him into slavery. When they went to Egypt, what did he do? He threw him in prison. Joseph threw him in prison. Why did he do that? Just to get even with them? No, he wanted to teach him a lesson. But listen, all of a sudden, his brothers became convicted of what they had done was wrong. And Reuben says, hey, I told you, but you wouldn't listen to me, and now look where we are. In Numbers chapter 21, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Take ye a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." You know, the Israelites were under a lot of conviction that they had done something wrong. You know, let's face it. All of a sudden, here's all these snakes coming up and biting them. And as soon as they got bitten, they died. There's people dropping dead all over the place. That would take and bring a conviction to my heart. I would say, what did I do wrong? What did God tell me that I was supposed to do that I didn't do? That would bring a real conviction in my... You know, that was not their preference to die. Did you know that? It was a conviction that they were dying. That they were dying because of the things that they had done wrong. Now, God was punishing them because they had sinned. You know, they were being taught right from wrong. And they had to learn the hard way that there was a penalty for wrong. You know, in school, many times we try to teach the students that there are consequences for their actions. You do good things, you get good consequences. You do bad things, you have bad consequences. And we've tried to instill that on children all through their time in school. But why do we have convictions? Why is it we need to have convictions? Why can't we just go through life with preferences? Why do we need to be convicted of things? Well, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We have to have convictions in order to win the lost to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1:21 it says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." You know, I am convicted to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I believe that we all should be under conviction to see others come to the saving knowledge of Christ. That should be our number one conviction after we're saved, is that we want to see others come to the saving knowledge of the Lord. But you know, people many times say, "Well, I'm not convicted to go out and share the gospel with people. I'm not convicted to see other people saved." Why not? It's a command. You know, what we need to realize is we need to be convicted to see people come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Our conviction in our personal life should be such that the lost or others can see Christ in us. You know, Sarah and Betty know this, that years ago, how did I used to dress all the time? I always wore a tie and a shirt, always, all the time. All the time I was out away from home, I always had a tie on, I always had a shirt on. You know, why was that? And you know, because everybody knew I was the pastor of Florence Baptist Church. This morning we went into Safeway to pick up the donuts for the Sunday school, and there was a lady, I'd never met her before in my entire life. And she looked at me and she started talking about godly things. And I'm thinking, how does she know? And I looked down, oh, it's by the way I was dressed. You know, our appearance many times talks volumes about what we are. You know, our lives have to be different after we accept Christ as our personal Savior. The world will hate us for what we believe, but we will be persecuted for what we believe, but the world will not be our friend. You know, there's an awful lot of people in the world today that look at us and go, "Man, you're crazy." After all, why in the world would anybody want to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Why would anybody want to take and be in church every time the church doors are open? Why is it anybody would want to go to a missions conference? Why is it anybody would want to take and go to an evangelistic conference? Why would any teenagers want to go to TUG? Listen, we need to be different. Our lives need to be different. The way we talk needs to be different. We need to be convicted that once we're saved, things are different. But you know, our convictions also need to teach. Not only should it lead people to the Lord, but it also should teach people. You know, while I grew up, I was taught certain principles in life. You know, I started to be convicted of certain things that were right and wrong. I learned from men of God and the Word of God that a Christian should be known from how he was to talk. I was convicted that I should act a certain way. I was convicted that I should dress a certain way, of what friends I should have, what I should watch on TV and what I shouldn't watch, where I should go and where I should stay away from, what kind of music I should listen to, how I should take care of my body, what Bible was correct for me to use, the church I should go to, how I should raise my family, what length my hair should be, how long should my fingernails be, You know, what is, you know, is it good to wear a lot of jewelry? You know, these are things that I was taught by other people who were convicted of certain things in their lives. But what's the difference between conviction and preference? You know, the way I conduct myself are my convictions given to me by the Word of God. You know, these may or may not be your convictions at this time. God will reveal our convictions to us as He wants us to have them. You know, people say, well, you know what? Everybody should have the same convictions. Right? We should all have the same convictions, right? Right, Brother Dominic? Yeah. Listen, if you lead an alcoholic to the Lord, does he quit drinking immediately? If you lead someone to the Lord who smokes cigarettes, does he quit smoking immediately? If you lead somebody to the Lord who is strung out on drugs, does that mean he's going to quit cold turkey just like that? But wait a minute. They're my convictions. They should be his too, right? But listen, convictions are not something that's immediately given to everybody at the same time. You know, I can remember many times going and talking to people about the Lord, seeing them get saved, and it might take 2, 3, 4 years for them to get convicted of something that they're doing is wrong. It doesn't happen overnight. My dad started smoking when he was 12 years old. He smoked to the day that he died. Even though it wasn't until he was in his 50s he realized that it was killing him. Then it was too late. He couldn't quit. But he got convicted at a late time in life that smoking cigarettes is going to kill him. You know, why didn't he get convicted when he was 12 years old? Because nobody knew that it would kill you then. You know, listen, what we need to realize is this, is everybody will become convicted of certain things at the time God wants you to be convicted of them. You know, we need to take and teach our convictions. However, you know, if you take and you look at babes in Christ, you know, somebody who just gets saved, they're not going to be the same as we are. And so, and I've been in churches that do this. People will come in, they'll go to the altar and get saved, and people look at them and say, well, didn't you get saved last week? Why are you dressed like that this week? Where's your shirt and tie? Brother Mike knows what I'm talking about. He's been in churches like that. Right? You know, where'd you shout? What do you mean you said that word? Don't you know that that's a cuss word? Listen, our convictions don't come just like that. I mean, I may have some conviction in my life that you may not receive until you're my age or even older. You know, there should be growth in our spiritual lives where we can see a change by the convictions that God brings into our lives on a daily basis. But how are we to use our convictions? How are we to use them? Well, as a pastor, a preacher is to preach from the Word of God concerning the principles and doctrines of the Bible. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul is telling Timothy in that verse that he should have convictions to study God's word. You need to be convicted that every day you should get in the Bible and you should read God's word. That should be a conviction. After all, we are to take and read God's word every day, right? How else are we going to know what he wants for us? How else is he going to speak to us? We need to take and stay in God's word. You know, a preacher is to guide you, to help you grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, and to find God's will for your life. You know, he's not to stand up here and cram his convictions down your throats. He's to let the Holy Spirit convict your heart of what you're doing wrong. You know, I am to allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of the things contrary to God's word. You know, I'm not to stand here and say, well, you dirty, rotten sinner, you got to change your lifestyle. What's the matter with you? How long have you been living that way? Shame, 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 right? I know, all the time. Sarah, you have no idea, none. I point my finger at you every Sunday morning. Anyway, but you know what? We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We need to let the Holy Spirit talk to us through the preaching of the Word of God. You know, if I say something or read something which pricks your heart and convicts you, don't blame me. Blame the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who's talking to you. I'm not. In Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, I can remember a preacher once said, and I have a sign underneath here that says, OSHA requires steel-toed shoes in this service. And, you know, he said, if you don't wear steel-toed shoes to a service, don't blame him, blame the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who's stepping on your feet. Amen? As it happens, the Holy Spirit's walking all over your feet. I'm not. He is. You know, I'll tell you what, I wear steel-toed shoes every time I preach because I know the Holy Spirit's going to be walking on my feet. You know, but a preacher is to take and guide you. You know, I'm not to live like everybody else. I am to live my convictions. You know, I am to live what the Bible says I should live my life and how I should live my life. Now, I don't want to blow anybody's bubble here today, but I'm not a perfect person. I just thought I'd tell you that. You know, I'm not a perfect person, and I'll be the first to say that. My wife will be the second. But, you know, I'm not the perfect person. Do you know that preachers listen to the devil? I remember we were over in Pinnell Parkway, and Joseph and Justin Ruan, they were, I don't know, they couldn't have been over 6-7 years old at the most. And Denise, my daughter, was teaching their Sunday school class, and she had just led the two of them to the Lord. And she says, now, we can't listen, or everybody listens to the devil. You know, and that's why we sin, is because we listen to the devil. And one of the little Ruan boys looked at him, he says, you mean to tell me pastor listens to the devil? And Denise, she didn't know what to say. You know, she had never heard that before, and she looked at him, she goes, yeah, she says, pastor listens to the devil just like everybody else does, because he's a sinner just like we are. And so the Sunday school got over, and the two of them ran as fast as they could up to their mom and dad, and they go, do you know what? Pastor listens to the devil. Everybody listens to the devil. Listen, I'm not a perfect person, and nobody else in here is, but I am to teach my convictions and let the Holy Spirit decide of what convictions that I have that maybe you should have. You know, we don't want to get convictions and preferences all confused. A conviction is thou shalt or thou shalt not do something, and you should be able to prove it by the Bible. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Deuteronomy 5, 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. Mark 12:30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then we should have no other gods before him. Exodus 23, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We shouldn't kill. Matthew 5, 21. Ye have heard that is said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, ye must be born again. John 3, 3. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16, 15. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Listen, a conviction is something that you can prove from the Bible. I want to challenge you today. I want you to go home and I want you to write down on a piece of paper, Josephine, this is what I want you to do. I want you to write down 50 things. Are you taking notes? I want you to write down 50 things that you are convicted of. Convictions that you have in your personal life, and then I want you to go and prove them from the Bible. I had a pastor challenge me to do that one time. And I had 50 things just like that written down. And you know what? I couldn't prove them all from the Bible. I could not prove my quote-unquote convictions from the Bible. Why? Because they weren't in there. They weren't a conviction. They were a preference. Well, what's the difference? You know, a preference is to be is something that's here for a while and gone again. You know, my brother, he was the one who persuaded me what the length of my hair should be. You know, my grandma, she persuaded me what was appropriate to wear to church. My dad persuaded me that every time the church doors is open, I better be there. My preacher persuaded me what was good music and what was bad music to listen years ago. My wife, believe it or not, persuaded me that I need to pick up my dirty clothes. If not, there's going to be ramifications. You know, my mom, she persuaded me to read my Bible every day. I was persuaded by preachers you should only preach with a white shirt and tie on. Amen, Brother Mike? You know, preferences over time will change. Believe it or not. Preferences will change. You know, we have convictions to edify or build up each other. If we can see our fellow brother or sister stumbling, their Christian life is maybe not what it should be, we need to go and help them get back on the right road. Now, I can remember when a dear brother in Christ of mine had fallen back into drinking. And, you know, I went and I sat down with him and I said, what's wrong with you? You're killing yourself. What do you mean? I said, you're killing yourself. You're going to die of cirrhosis of the liver. Yeah, so what? You know, hey, our bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. I said, you're ruining God's house. And you know, after I got done with him, he said, you're right, I am. And he quit drinking. You know, I had a girlfriend in high school that went into the drug scene and we broke up and that's another story. But you know, I was always told this by my dad. And this wasn't a preference, this was a law. He said, you will not ever date a girl who will not go to church with you, period. And I said, what happens if I do? He said, do you want to drive the car or not? I said, yeah, that'd be fine. And you know what? I never did. I never dated anybody who would not go to church with me. This girl that I had dated back in high school, she had, and Carol knows her real well, and she had got in the drug scene. We broke up and everything else. But about 10 years later, we went to a reunion, and she was there. And she was about from here to the door away from me, and she ran as fast as she could, threw her arms around me, gave me a big hug, and she says, "We're brothers and sisters." And I said, "What do you mean?" And she told me her story. She was on railroad tracks walking, and she had a loaded .38 in her pocket. She had just come down off a high, and she was going to go and commit suicide. She's walking down this railroad tracks. All of a sudden, she heard singing coming from this building. And she walked over to this building, and she looked at the building, and the building reminded her of something. And she walked inside, and she thought to herself, have you ever walked in somebody in some place and said, you know, I've been here before? She walked inside, and she thought, I've been here before, but I can't remember where or when. She sat in the back of the church. The evangelist was preaching, and he said, there's people in here tonight that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or they are going to die. The invitation was given. She started crying, and she couldn't get up to the front fast enough. She got saved that night, and she said, the minute I got done praying, all of a sudden, my mind was opened, and I remembered this church. It was a church that you brought me to when we were dating. Wow. Listen, my dad instilled in me. It wasn't his preference, it was his conviction that when those doors are open, you're in church. It didn't matter what church, it mattered that you were in church. Worshiping God. It was through that she came to know the Lord. Listen, my convictions are to be used to help someone else find their convictions before God. You know, none of us are to force our preferences on anybody. Did you know that? We shouldn't force our preferences on anybody. You know, I'm not to point my finger at brother so-and-so and say, you know, you aren't doing things the way I want them, so you're a dirty, rotten sinner. You know, I know of preachers, believe it or not, who have pushed their preferences onto people to where the people felt they were convictions rather than preferences. You know, I know of preachers that have told men in the church that it was a sin not to wear a white shirt and tie to church. And you know what? When I first started the church, I never, ever preached without a white shirt and tie on. I never did, because I thought that's the way it was. Until I realized it was their preference instead of a... I couldn't find it in the Bible. I could not find anywhere in the Bible that said a preacher has to wear a white shirt and tie to preach. Look at that, I got a green one on today. You know, what we need to realize is their preferences. You know, preferences will change. You know, one person may think a bald head, like Brother Bray, you know, a bald head is a proper haircut. You know what I mean? And then other people may feel that, you know, collar length hair is a short haircut too. You know, that's a preference. You know, one person may think that a shirt and tie are proper attire for church, while others think, well, you know, jeans are. Well, that's a preference. You know, one may feel that she needs to wear a dress to church, while others feel, well, you know, maybe pants are proper attire. You know, these are preferences. Proven by the Bible if it's going to be a conviction. You know, I don't see anywhere in the Bible it says that a pastor has to wear a tie. I don't. In fact, if you go back to the Levitical law and you look at what the priests wore, I wouldn't want to wear it. Too hot here in Arizona. I'd die. I mean, they had layers and layers of clothes on. But you know, each of us have our conviction and each of us have our preferences. And we need to test both by the Word of God and by the Holy Ghost to find out what they are. You know, the first and foremost thing is, though, that we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You know, I have convictions. One of my convictions is this, is the virgin birth of Christ. That's a conviction. That Jesus came, that he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And it was by his blood and his blood alone that we can have redemption for our sins. Listen, those are convictions. Why? Because I can prove them by the Bible. Oh, there's verses in the Bible I can show you where a man or a woman's not supposed to wear what obtaining to a man, and a man's not supposed to wear what obtaining to a woman. But, you know, I look at it this way. If God convicts you that a man should not wear a dress, praise the Lord. You're laughing, but you know what? If you saw on the news the other day, Sarah, the boys over in England are wearing skirts because it's so hot and they won't allow them to wear shorts. So they're wearing skirts, just like the girls do, to stay cool. But you know, our convictions will be our testimony to the world of how we live our lives and how they can see Christ in us. If we need to live our lives, we need to live them for the honor and glory of God. Not for man, but for God alone. What convictions do you have? What preferences do you have? You should test your preferences, and you should test your convictions by God's Word to see if they match up. I want you to do that. I want you to write down 50 things that you are convicted of, things that you believe are in this Word. And then I want you to prove them. It's harder than you think. But you know, when you get all done, you can say, wow, now I know what I believe and why I believe it. You know, that's the trouble with so many Christians today, is they don't know what they believe and they don't know why they believe it. Oh, the preacher said it. Big deal. Search it out. Make sure what I'm saying is true. If it isn't, let me know. Amen. All right. What's that? Well, what you need to do is find 50 things that you're convicted of and look them up and see if they're true or not. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray that you might take and help us to realize that we have convictions and we have preferences. And help us, I pray, that we can separate the two and that we know what we believe. There's so many that are going through life today that they think they know what they believe, but they really can't back it up by the Word of God. I pray that might have challenged them today to write down what they think they believe and then prove it by the Word of God. I pray now that you'll guide us and direct us in all that we do. Help us to grow in your grace. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. And we give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, turn our hymnal number 163.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and